Okay, we're beginning by the two dots on the bottom of Ayin Tet Amud Bet. Just to quickly go over what we saw in the Mishnah and the Gemara afterwards, we have here sets of todot, some of which require lechem, some of which do not require lechem. Obviously, a todah, core todah, requires lechem. The question is that with regards to derivatives of a todah, that includes vlada, the offspring of a todah, the chilufin, which means a replacement for the todah, if it got lost and then you were replacing it, as well as tmurat todah, those that are exchanged for a todah. In all those instances, we noted that the items that are extensions of the todah do not require lechem, but the kor todah does require lechem. Then we had a final statement by Rabbi Yochanan, which was, lo shanu el lachar kapara. That's only true after the kapara is attained. Aval lifnei kapara, but if it's before the kapara is attained, tunin lechem, then they do require lechem. So the reference to which Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about is somewhat cryptic. And that's what the Gemara says now, Havi bar Rav Amram, ahay. What is Rabbi Yochanan speaking about? What's the scenario in which any one of those three that we enumerated in our Mishnah that do not get lechem would get lechem if it was before kapara? Now obviously the term kapara here is being used loosely because the todah is not brought for kapara, the todah is brought for Thanksgiving. And so the word kapara is just used in its more generic sense of bringing a korban or the obligation to bring a korban. Eilema, if you want to suggest the situation here is achalife todat chova. It was an instance where you have an obligatory todah and you have chalipin, which means that it got lost at some point and you replaced it with another one and then the original shows up. So now you have two todot that are sitting in front of you and you have to decide which one you're going to bring and about which one their lechem is associated. So the possibility that Rabbi Yochanan's statement is made about this is completely unnecessary, because ilifnei kapara, if it was before you attained kapara, tanina. We already know that from the braita that we brought at the beginning of the Gemara, ilachar kapara, tanina. If it's after kapara, we also learned that from the braita, which was a braita that says that when you have them in front of you, the one that you brought as a replacement and the original one, you choose whichever of the two that you'd like to bring. The one that is brought first, it attains the kapara and the lechem goes with. Whichever one you bring second does not get lechem. So what do I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that? I already have that in the Tanaic works. Now here there's a question as regards to what does that mean, a todat chova, an obligatory todah. If you look in the Miyuchas Rashi, he just simply says, Kogong damar hare alai davyalei chova. It's when he articulates the neder as a neder and not a nidava. So he says, hare alai. The obligation is upon me, which means that if the animal gets lost, or the todah is lost, he still has responsibility to replace it. That's what he calls chova. On the other hand, the Rashi in the Ketav Yad says something amazing, which most of the Rishonim disagree with. He brings the Harei Alai as a possibility, and then he says, Lishna Achrina, todat chova kegon, mifmefaresh bayam, vayotze b'shayara, v'chole shenitzol micholyo, v'chavush sheyatza mibeit asurim. Damrina bebrachot arba atzrichim leodot. These are the four individuals that need to give hoda'ah. These are the four individuals that bench gomel. They're also the four individuals that, in the time of Mikdash, would bring a korban todah. Dichtev behu v'yizbechu zevach todah b'sefer Tehilim. In this perek in Tehilim, where we learn the four from in perek kuf zayin, there in each of the refrains that this speaks about, it says v'yizbechu zevchei todah. The part of their excitement and their thanksgiving is that they bring korbanot todah. So Rashi from that says maybe those are todot chova. And that's what it means over here, todot chova. Someone who's obligated to give thanksgiving has to bring the korban todah. And that's what we mean, todot chova. If you look in the Shita Mikubetzet Ot Yud, he says, Perish HaKuntris Belishna Achrina. So again here, there's good evidence of the fact that what the Rashi Ketav Yad is the Rashi, because you see the Shita Mikubetzet is quoting something we only find in the Rashi Ketav Yad, Kegon Mefaresh Bayam, V'lo Nehira. Since that doesn't make sense, D'lo Ashkan D'lechayiv. We never find that you're obligated. Im lo amar hare alai todah. Unless you say or articulate, I'm going to bring a todah. So even though these people need to give thanksgiving to Hashem, There's no obligation to bring a todah just because you experienced one of these items. The only way that you become chayav in a todah is if you declare yourself obligated in a todah. Therefore, the Rova Rishonim think that it's a scenario where you said, harei alai todah, you obligated yourself personally in a todah. Ela chalife todah nedava. So the scenario that Rabbi Yochanan must have been speaking about is a case where it was a todah nedava, a voluntary todah. So now, if an obligatory todah is a situation where you say hare alai, where you obligate yourself to make sure that the Quran is brought, then a todah nedava would be hare zo. It's where you've designated this animal as a Quran, but you take no personal obligation or warranty on the fact that this will end up in the Mikdash. If this animal gets there, great. If it doesn't, then you're not responsible to replace it. So that would be a todah nedava. And now you had a chalipin. You replaced it. It got lost. And now you replaced it. So over there, ben lifnei kapara, ben lachar kapara tunot lechem. There, whether you found it before or after kapara, brought it before or after kapara, both of them would require lechem. Marbe betodotu. Over there, you're just increasing volumetrically the quantity of todot you have to bring. Since you have no responsibility to replace the todah that you said harei zo todah about, when you separate out a second todah to replace it, that's as if you brought a new korban todah. You have no obligation to do that. So it's not a backup, it's a new todah. So that means irrespective of what happens, now you have two todot, and so whether it's lifnei kapara, harei kapara, it doesn't matter anymore because you need to bring these as separate todot. Ela, so the scenario must be, avlad todah nidava. It has to be the offspring of a todat nidava. So todat nidava again is where you say harei zo. You have no achrayut, you have no responsibility. Ben lifnei kapara, ben achar kapara, ein tunim lechem. In that case, whether it's before or after the kapara, they do not require lechem. Potar de todahi. It is considered to be excess monies that you segregated for a todat. So here, ben lifnei kapara, ben achar kapara means when you brought the korban, it was before or after the first todah. So lifnei kapara means before you brought the first todah. Kar kapara means after you brought the first todah. So in this case, the mother and the child that is born, they're both considered to be part of the hekdesh, the todat hekdesh. So now you have monies that you have delineated to pay for this todah. Well, the mother, you already made it into a todah. The baby is just excess money that you didn't need because you don't have any obligation to replace this or to have a chrayut for it. So then when you have excess monies for a todah, those monies are then motar todah, which we'll see later on about what you do with excess monies that are left over from a todah. But there's no obligation to bring them with lechem. So that's what it means here. Ben lifnei kapar, ben achar kapara, that child that is brought, if you bring it as a korban todah, whether you bring it before your kor todah or after your kor todah, doesn't really matter because in both of those scenarios, it does not require lechem. It's considered to be excess monies that you segregated for a todah, and therefore you don't need to bring any lechem with it. As the Miuchas Rashi says, shekvar nitkaper be'acher. Once you already segregated out the mother, that already discharged your obligation because it was a nidava where you said arezo. So that obligation is done. Because anything that happens naturally or by itself is considered to be just excess monies towards the obligation that you had, which you already discharged. And those excess monies now just become motar todah. Ela avlad todah chova. Maybe it's an offspring of a todat chova. So going back again, todat chova is either where you said harei alai, according to Rashi, possibly where you are obligated to say thank you in those four instances that arba tzrichim leodot. So there we have a todat chova, lifnei kapara to'un lechem. The achar kapara ain't to'un lechem. Before the kapara, it would require lechem. The after kapara ain't to'un lechem. Because essentially what you have here with a vlad todat chova is two todot. So when we had before two todot, we said whichever one you bring first discharges your obligation and the lechem goes with it. Whichever one you bring second does not have lechem because you already discharged your obligation with the first one. So the Gemara says, Maika Mashmalan, what is the big deal about this? This seems pretty straightforward. The vlad todat chova should be no different than a case where you have two todot in front of you and you're trying to choose which one to bring, this seems no different than that. My answer is because Sava Rabbi Yochanan, Adam mitchaper b'shevech hekdesh, that a person can attain kapara with excesses that come from hekdesh. So here you have an instance where the ubar that is born really accrues to hekdesh in this instance. Because the ubar is born to an animal of hekdesh, that excess really should belong to hekdesh. Despite that fact, we give you the right to use it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush is, that Adam mitkaper, a person can attain kapara bishvach hekdesh, with that which accrued or appreciated in the hands of hekdesh. So here you have an ubar, and the ubar that is now an appreciation of the hekdesh, you can use that towards your korban. So that's the Chiddush here, that the two todot that you have here, one that was what you were mafrish, the other one that was born from the one that you were mafrish, both of them are available to you to use as a korban todah. Since both of them are available to you as a korban todah, then you can bring either one, and whichever one you pick to bring first, you'll bring the lechem with. Whichever one that you bring second, la'achar kapara, that one you will not bring lechem with. So the main chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan's statement is not about the todah itself, but rather about shvach hekdesh. When hekdesh appreciates, that you have the right to use that appreciation for your own purposes. Again, we'll come back and discuss this a little more. Avi ba nami Abaye, ki hai gavno. Abaye queried the same thing about Rabbi Yochanan's statement, and with the same way, and came to the same conclusion that the situation, the story, must be a case where a spimet of vlad todat chova, and the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is that adam mitchaper b'shvach hekdesh. Itmar nami. We have a similar statement from Amoraim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ba Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Chilufei todat nidava. If you have a replacement for a todat nidava, ben lifnei kapara, ben lachar kapara, whether before or after kapara, tuna lechem. That requires lechem, meaning both korbanot require lechem. Marbe b'todotu. As we saw above, when it's a todat nidava, you have no obligation to replace it. So when you replace it, you're basically starting a new korban todah. And if you find the original, now you have two korbanei todah. Each one of them will require lechem to come along with it. Vlad todat nidava, the offspring of a todah that is a nidava, ben lifnei kapara, ben achar kapara, that's before or after kapara, meaning the mother that you is the korban todah, whether you bring the offspring before or after, into an lechem, does not require lechem because motar ditodahu. It's excess monies of a todah, which are then designated to be used for an alternate korban, but not necessarily a korban todah. It can be a shlamim, but it's a korban that does not have any requirements of lechem, and therefore, whether it's before or after you bring the first one, there is no lechem over here. Vlad todat chova. And when you come to an offspring of a todat chova, lifnei kapara tonim lechem. Before kapara, it requires lechem. Lachar kapara, ein tonim lechem. After kapara, it does not require lechem. This is like Rabbi Yochanan's Shita before, which is, this is the scenario in which he made his statement. And this scenario teaches you that you have the right to use Shvach Hekdesh. Amar Shmuel, kol shebechatat meita, anything that by a chatat would be subject to death, betodah ain't tuna lechem. By todah does not require lechem. Kol shebechatat ro'ah, anything by the chatat that would go out to graze, betodah tuna lechem. Then by a todah would require lechem. So now the concept of chatat shemeita is that we have alocha l'moshe mitzinai, the chamesh chatot meitot. There are five chatot that are subject to death, which means that since they were not utilized as a chatat, they are then put out to not graze, but out to die. They're locked up in the kippah and the food is withheld from them and then they die. These chamesh chatot are number one, chatat shmeita bala, chatat where the owner passed away. Chatat shenitkapru bala b'acher, case where the chatat where they had kapara through a different chatat. Vlad chatat, the offspring of a chatat. Tmurat chatat, the exchange of a chatat. And a chatat shavrashnata, if it aged out. A chatat can only be brought b'shana rishona, if it's now above that age grade, even though it was Nitkadesh before that age grade, then it's also one of the chamesh chatot hametot. So what Shmuel says is, if it's a chatat hametot in all those instances, no lechem. But kol shebechatat ro'ah, in the instances where a chatat does not get that designation to die, instead it goes out to graze, in those cases, the tudatu nalechem. It's a meitiv Rav Amram. Mahu omer. It quotes from the braita that we brought at the beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. Hatodah yakriv. Minayin the mafrish todato v'avda. In a situation in which a person segregates out a todah and then loses it, v'frish acheret takdah, and then he brings a replacement, a chalipin, the name say to be rishona, and then you find the original one, hareshtem omdot. Both of them now are available to you. Minayin jesman sheyirtze yakriv. How do you know whichever one he chooses to bring, he can bring? V'lachma ima, and whichever one you bring first, the lechem will go with it. Tamalomar hatodah yakriv. This is exactly the braita that we quoted yesterday, right in the beginning of the Gemara. Yochalte shnia tuna lechem. You would think the second one that you bring also requires lechem. Tamalomar yakriv venu echad velo shnayim. Only one of the two gets lechem, not both of them. V'ilu gabei chatat ki aygavna. In a similar scenario by a chatat, ro'ah, it would be put out to graze. Titanan. Hifrish chatato v'abda. He separated out a chatat to discharge his obligation, and then it got lost. Hifrish acheret tachta. Then he separated out a replacement. V'nipzei tarishona. And then he finds the first one. Hareishtem omdot. Both of them are standing in front of him. Mitkaper b'chat mehem. Ushnia tamut divrei rabbi. In that case, or that's a scenario, Rabbi says that you can use one of them for kapara. The other one goes to mita. V'chamim omrim, this is what we're focused on, is the position of the chachamim, ein chatat meita, el shenimtzeit achar shenitkaparu ba'alim. You only have a chatat meita when the chatat was only found after the ba'alim were nitkaper. Hakodem shenitkaparu ba'alim, roa. But if it's found before the ba'alim were nitkaper, it goes out to graze. So this idea of chatat she'avda, so that only works in a situation or a scenario where you have kapara already tained by the balim when it was in a status of being lost. But if it's already found before you do the kapara, then it goes out to be ro'ah. So now you have a situation whereby in the same scenario by a chatat, the second chatat goes out to ro'ah, and yet by the todah, we said the second todah does not get lechem. So this undermines the principle that Shmuel put out. So Chamim and Rabbi argue about what is the key threshold point which designates the chatat to then be meita. Chamim believe that it's kapara. So if kapara is done while the other chatat is not here, then nitkapru ba'alev acher and goes out the meita. Whereas if it's found before the point of kapara, then it's nitchet. It's a dichoy because it was available. It could have been the one to be mitkaper. He chose the other and then the other one goes out to graze. And then for Rabbi, that threshold is not the point of kapara, but the threshold is the point of hafresha. When you segregate it out, when you separate it, at that moment, you've already made a decision that one of them is going to be for kapara, the other one is going to go to mita. Because in essence, what Rabbi is saying is that hafresha is already the beginning of the process of kapara. And so therefore, at that moment, one of the animals was missing, and therefore it's designated to be the mita. So the easy answer to the problem here is, Shmuel ki Rabbi sfirle. Shmuel holds like Rabbi. Damar avuda b'shat hafresha, meita, like we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi believes that something that is lost at the time of Asher HaShah, then it goes to mita. So, Ela ro'ah the Rabbi, heichem ishkachava. So what's the scenario in which Rabbi says it goes out to graze? If you're telling me Shmuel's din is about death and grazing, and that makes a difference, then if you tell me like Rabbi, who says that the chatat that's nevda always goes to the mita, whether it happened at the moment of hafresha, point of kapara, where's the scenario where it's ro'ah? Kid Rav Hoshaya, Dam Rav Hoshaya. Hifrish te chataot l'achrayut. He segregates or separates out two chataot, one for backup for the first one. Mitchaper be'ezman shirtzeh. You can use either of the two to attain the kapara. Vashnia tire. And the second one will go out and graze. V'agabi todah ki aygavna. Ein tun alechem. Wait a minute. In a scenario like that, by a todah, it would not require lechem. So now, yeah, you solved one problem for Shmuel, but now you opened up another problem. The first problem we had for Shmuel was in the case of avudah, like our Mishnah, and you bring in the replacement. We said over there, the first one gets lechem, the second one doesn't get lechem. Said, wait, by a chatat, in that scenario, one chatat would be the kapara, the other chatat would be ro'ah, would be put out to pasture and to graze until it gets a mum. So then that doesn't match Shmuel's din. We said, no problem. He holds like Rabbi. Rabbi who says that anytime you do such a replacement of the chatat, then the one that's lost goes to mitah, and the one that is available goes to kapara. And so therefore that would be the scenario that we're looking for, because there it's meta, the second one, and therefore similarly by the todah, the second one wouldn't get lechem. But now you run yourself into a problem of the case of ro'ah for Rabbi. The case of ro'ah for Rabbi is a case where you're mafrish up front to chataot l'achrayut. The Baal Tosafot over here question how exactly that works. He says, first of all, if you do it zeh zeh, if you do it sequentially, it's not going to work. Because then as soon as you designate the first one the chatat, the second one then is not a chatat. Because the first one took care of your obligation, the chatat. You can't then say the second one is lechatat, or have the choice between the first and the second, because the first one was the one that you brought as the designated one for your obligation. When you then say the second one's a chatat, it has no relevance to the obligation that you had before. So you'll say you'll do it bevat achat. We have a principle that anything that can't be done sequentially can't be done simultaneously. So just because you're mafrish and mekadesh, both chataot, together doesn't change the fact that only one of them is really a chatat, the other one is not. So Baal Tosafot's solution in the end is to suggest that it is going to amar tikdosh achat mehem mitoch hashtayim. The case where he says, one of the two shall be hekdesh. Even though he says one of the two shall be hekdesh, doesn't mean that the other one is going to be chulin. It means that one of these two should be hekdesh, and the other one should be the backup for the hekdesh. But that means that he's makdish both of them, but only the primary one will have the kedusha of a chatat. But in that way, you can do it together. Even though, again, as the Baal Tosafot suggests, that has to be done even without breira. And we already discussed on Daf Ayin Chet with regards to 40 loaves mitoch the 80 loaves. Over there also the Baal Tosafot say, how do you do that without breira? Because the Tosafot said in the end, there you did not need to separate them out. They could remain together, and therefore breira wasn't important. Over here he says it's a little harder, and you'd have to figure out a way by which there wouldn't be application of breira over here. But nevertheless, that's his suggestion as to how it became a korban chatat le'achrayut. So now we say, well, if that's the case of ro'ah for Rabbi, that means by a todah, if it's ro'ah for Rabbi, that means it should be tuna lechem. But we don't have that by the case of todah. By gabi todah, gabi adna, in tuna lechem. By the case of todah, if you're mafrish shtayim l'achrayut, we don't say that the second one also gets lechem. We say that the second one does not get lechem. So then how does that work with Shmuel's din? El Shmuel, k'rabbi Shimon svirle. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, was even a more radical view than Rabbi. Chamim have the view that there are many instances where you have a chatat that is ro'ah when you have two chatot in front of you. Rabbi narrows that scope because he says that even at the point of hafrashah, the animal's missing. That already makes it a chatat that is meita. But he still has a case of ro'ah. It's a case where you're mafrish l'achrayut. Rabbi Shimon says, damar chamesh chatot meitot, period. Chamesh chatot meitot for Rabbi Shimon is always. There's no case where you don't have that. So in any case where you've replaced your chatat and then nitchapru ba'alea ba'acher, the second chatat will always go to mitah. There are no exceptions to that rule. Va, ro'ah Rabbi Shimon le klau. Well, the problem is, for Rabbi Shimon, there's never a case where it goes out to graze. If that's the case, how does Shmuel have a din that has two sides to it? His din was, it's a chatat that's meita, it doesn't get lechem. If it's a chatat that's ro'ah, it does get lechem. But if Rabbi Shimon never has a case of ro'ah, and he's holding like Rabbi Shimon, then what's the meaning of the second part of Shmuel's statement? Gemara says, Shmuel nami echada kamar. Shmuel also only made one statement, which is, kosh b'chatat meita, b'todah ein tun alechem. Made one statement, that anything by a chatat, that it dies, and a todah does not require lechem. My kamash malon. So then what is he teaching us? Why doesn't he just say, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon? Halacha like Rabbi Shimon just means that all chatot are meitot. And that's basically in essence what he's saying. What is he adding for us with regards to the todah, the eina tuna lechem? That in a case where you have a chatat, in these scenarios, it wouldn't get lechem. That we also know by the todah. So why do I need that extra information by the todah? Just tell me halacha like Rabbi Shimon by chatat. By todah, we know that anytime you have two todot, the first one goes the kapara, the second one goes without lechem anyway. So lafuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. He's coming to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Damar adam itchaper b'shvach hekdesh. Rabbi Yochanan says that when you have that offspring, getting in kapara through that excess appreciation of hekdesh, And therefore you can use the Vlad. You can choose between the mother and the Vlad as to which one you bring as your Todah, and which one you bring as your backup, and which one will get Lechem, and which one won't get Lechem. Kamash Valan, Dolo. We say that that's not the case over here. When it comes to the Ubar is not classified as something that you have access to, not something that you have a right to utilize, because Shvach HaKdesh belongs to Hekdesh and not to you. So that would be his disagreement with Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why he invokes this principle. Anytime there's a Chatat Meta, in that scenario, Ein Tuna Lechem. In our scenario over here, that means that the Vlad Chatat, which is always the Mita, so too, the Vlad Todah, always will not have lechem. And you don't have the right to use that as your primary korban todah. So now the Baalei Tosafot deal with this distinction or difference between the position of Shmuel and the position of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is, there are two questions that you have to ask. The first of which is there any difference as to when the animal became pregnant? What happens if the animal is pregnant at the time of the Hakdashah? Versus, what's the scenario in the case where it becomes pregnant after the Hakdashah? In which scenario do we say that the Vlad is yours to use? In which scenario do we say that the Vlad belongs to Hekdesh? So you could easily see, making such a distinction, that when the animal is already pregnant at the time that you are Makdish the animal, that there you are already have in mind that that animal should be yours or for your utilization. And so maybe in that scenario you should be able to use it. And that's maybe what Rabbi Yochanan spoke about. But in the case where the animal comes pregnant after it's already in Mukdash, maybe over there that's Shvach Hekdesh that you don't have access to or you're not allowed to use. So that would logically make sense to say such a statement. Though the Baalei Tosafot say that the situation here is, even in a scenario where the Ubar is created or the mother becomes pregnant after it's already Hekdesh, that scenario you can still use it, and Rabbi Yochanan plays Shvach Hekdesh accrues to your benefit. Now he then explains that there is a difference between a chatat and a todah. And that is, we have a statement from Rabbi Yochanan in Tmura that says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ifrish chatat mi'uberet. It's mafrish a chatat that's mu'beret v'yalda, and then it gives birth, ratza ba mitkaper, ratza bevlada mitkaper. In that scenario, you get to choose which one you use. My time, huh? Because Rabbi Yochanan im sheira mishuyar ubar lav yerachimohu, the child is not considered to be an extension of the parent, of the mother, and therefore each one is an independent entity. So when he's makdish them, he has basically two entities here that he's being makdish. That means he's doing it lachrayut. One is going to be his primary, one is going to be his backup, and he knows about it because the animal's already pregnant at the time of the hakdashah. So then Tosfot points out v'nir lefareish. The dafka b'chatat, only b'chatat you need this reasoning of tzarich lamar time mishum dim shayro mishuyar, that if he left it over, he could leave it over, meaning that he has the ability to segregate the baby, because the baby is not considered an extension of the mother. So when he chooses to be makdish it, he's makdish both of them. If he chose just to makdish the mother and keep the ubar, that would have been fair as well. So his right to then determine the fate of the baby makes it that when he's makdish it, that it's as if he's makdish te chatot. The Tosafot says you only need that by the chatat. Dimita de'enu mishuyar, because if that was not the scenario, mishum de'ubar yerachimo, if the fetus was considered to be an extension of the mother, lo yamitchaper b'shvach hakdesh mishum de'kaimelon chamesh chatot metot, that there are five chatot that die, and that's the vlad chatat. So then you wouldn't have rights to it. A vlad chatat is lemita. So you have to say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Vlad Chatat in this case doesn't really belong to the Chatat, and that's why it's not classified as a Vlad Chatat, but as a primary Chatat. That's because it's segregated. Vlad Chatat Meta. So then where's the scenario going to Rabbi Yochanan where a Vlad Chatat does die? In a situation or scenario where it only became pregnant after you were Makdishit. Because in that scenario, you can't say that he had in mind for that secret chatat, that Vlad over there, he had no idea it was there. It wasn't something that he created. That's Shvach Hekdesh. Shvach Hekdesh doesn't help you by chatat, because Vlad chatat is the mita. So that's a very important distinction within chatat. That Rabbi Yochanan, within the world of chatat, makes a distinction between whether the animal was pregnant at the time of the Hakdashah, Because over there he believes that the vlad is separate from the mother, and therefore you're being makdish two chatot. Versus the scenario where you're makdish the mother, and the mother only later becomes pregnant, over there he agrees that that vlad chatat is lemita. Because over there you had no mindset to be makdishit, and you don't have a right to take the shvach hekdesh here because vlad chatat is lemita. Aval bevlad toda, when it comes to the offspring of toda, mitchaper afilo ifrisha, v'achakach nitabra. That's what it says over here. It doesn't matter by a todah whether the todah was pregnant at the time that you segregated it, or if you only became pregnant after you already made it into a korban todah. In both of those cases, you have a right or access to it because it's shvach hekdesh. It's appreciation of hekdesh. Rabbi Yochanan says you're allowed to use shvach hekdesh for your own benefit. And so for that reason over here, you have by the vlad todah, whether he knew about it at the time, it's as if he's been mafrish shtei todot la'achrayut, whether he didn't know about it, and then it later came along, he has a right to utilize it, because it's shvach hekdesh, and shvach hekdesh, you have a right to utilize. Here, you don't have the din of vlad todah is the mita. The vlad todah doesn't have that same din as a vlad chatat. And that's why you actually have a difference in the din between a todah and a chatat, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's din of using either one is only applicable by chatat when it's pregnant at the time of Akhtasha. Whereas for a todah, it doesn't matter whether it's pregnant at that time or became pregnant afterwards. In both those scenarios, you're allowed to use the vlad todah for your own benefit. And you have to say that there is such a distinction between a chatat and a todah, umityashevet bekach shmaita de besamuch. Because otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan then would have the same principle as Shmuel. And the klal would be whatever is true by chatat is true by a todah. By the case of the chatat, if you believe that the vlad chatat, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to get kapara with it, that means that it's ina meita b'chatat, and therefore by a todah we would require lechem, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree with the din of Shmuel, he just disagrees about what is a vlad chatat that is meita, whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon or whether you hold like the chachamim. They're not necessarily disagreeing about the klal. But if you say like we just suggested, there's a distinction between a chatat and a todah, then the din of Shmuel doesn't work for Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, by the chatat, the vlad chatat is meita, but by the case of the vlad todah, it is tuna lechem if you choose to bring that one for kapara. And that's why it's saying here that Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and he's making the point that you can't use shvach hekdesh. So even though Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that, with the gabei chatat, that you can't use shvach hekdesh, nevertheless, by todah, he disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel says you can't use shvach hekdesh. Rabbi Yochanan says you can use shvach hekdesh. So what Tosfos points out is, therefore, for Rabbi Yochanan, the case by chatat, there is no scenario of shvach hekdesh. He agrees with Shmuel that you can't get benefit from shvach hekdesh by a chatat. Because if it's already pregnant at the time that you makdish it, that's not called shvach hekdesh. That you know about is a separate entity, and you make the choice to be makdish both entities. If it only becomes pregnant afterwards, that's not shvach hekdesh that you have access to. That's a vlad chatat, lemita, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees. And if that's the case, it's eno ro'ah. So that's how that klal that Shmuel lays out, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with it. Because in that scenario, by the todat chovah, it does require lechem because he's using the shvach hekdesh. But according to Shmuel's principle, if it's a chatat lemita, then it shouldn't require lechem. Alright, so that's just a deeper understanding or explanation of the view here of Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan and the distinction that Rabbi Yochanan makes. And to get more depth to that, just the reason that by a vlad todah, we would allow you to get benefit from the shvach hekdesh, and by a vlad chatat, we would not, might actually be the difference between whether it's lekapara or she'enu lekapara. Meaning that a vlad chatat is lekaper, and kapara requires that it comes from your own possession, and you can't use hekdesh to do or accomplish kapara. And by the todah, where it's not an issue of kapara, it's just an issue of bringing a korban todah, which is a Thanksgiving korban, over there we allow you to use the shvach hekdesh to benefit yourself in terms of bringing a korban todah or excess korbanei todah. We will not then allow you to do that when it comes to kapara by the chatat. Right now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, zo todah v'zo lachma. If he designates both the todah and the lechem he's going to bring with the todah, avad lechem, If the lechem is lost, maybe lechem acher. Then you just replace the lechem and you use the same todah with new lechem. Avda todah, if you lose the todah, eino mevi todah acheret. You don't bring another todah to replace it. Now if you look in the Rashi in the Ketav Diyad, he says that when it means that avda todah, then you don't bring another todah, he says, el avda todah, avda lechem. That if the todah is lost, the lechem is gone. It's no good. Meaning so that you could have had a havamina, and the Miuchas Rashi sounds a little more along these lines, which is you don't have to bring a todah to replace it. But if you do bring a todah to replace it, in Okanami, you could use it with the lechem that is there. We just don't obligate you to bring a todah. The way Rashi in the Ketav Diyad says it is, that's not true. As soon as the todah is gone, this lechem was so connected to this todah, avda lechem, the lechem is gone now, and you can't even bring a new todah in and use the lechem with that todah. And the reason, my time up, very simple reason, lechem liglal todah, the lechem comes as ancillary to the todah, vein todah liglal lechem. On the other hand, the todah is not ancillary to the lechem. The lechem is something that enhances or is a accompaniment to the todah. So when you lose the lechem, you just bring in a new cherry on top. So you bring in new lechem. But it can't be if you lose the main item and then you have the cherry left that you bring in another item to replace it, because all you have left is the lechem. The lechem is not the dictating force here. It's just the accompaniment or the ancillary item. That's the case. If the todah, the primary item is lost, then according to Rashi and Ketav Diyad, the lechem is lost completely. According to Miuchas Rashi, you have a right to replace it if you want, but you don't have to replace it. You have no obligation to replace it over here. B'amar Rava, hifrish ma'ot l'todato. If he separates out monies to pay for his todah, v'nito tru, and he has excess monies, maybe ben lechem. He can use the excess to buy lechem to bring along with that todah. If he segregated out money, l'lachmei todah, for the lechem of the todah, v'nito tru, and then he has excess money, ein mevi ben todah. You can't bring with those excess money the todah. And the deal you can make from this as well is the fact that you're not allowed to use the excess monies of the lechem for the todah, but you could use it for other lechemim. If you lost this lechem, you could use it to replace this lechem. And maybe even possibly if you needed lechem from a different todah, maybe you could use this excess money. Since it was designated for lechem, it can be used for other lechemim. My time, Ilema mishum d'Rav Kahana. If you say it's because of Rav Kahana's din, Dama Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Minayin the lachmei todah, shenikru'u todah. How do you know that the lachmei todah are also called the todah, shenemar, v'ilkriv al zevach ha-todah, chalot matzot. So it says about the lachamim that come with the todah, it says v'ilkriv al zevach ha-todah. As part of the zevach ha-todah, you're going to bring these. So they're part and parcel of the todah. Iyachi ibchanami. Then why did you just say the opposite too? If they are synonymous terms, then why should it matter whether the todah is extra money you can use for the lechem? Same should be true in the reverse, that if you have excess money from the lechem, you should use, be able to use the todah. You just told me that the word todah and lechem are synonymous. My answer is that's not true. Lechem ikrei todah, todah lo ikrei lechem. The lechem is subsumed under the title of todah. The todah is not subsumed under the title of lechem. So that's something similar to what we saw with regards to the Korban Shlamim. We said that Todah is a subset of Shlamim, but not vice versa. Shlamim is not a Todah. For that reason, if you bring a Todah as a Shlamim, we consider that to be fine because the Todah is a subset of the world of Shlamim. It's subsumed under the term Shlamim. Whereas the other way around, if you have a Shlamim and you want to make that into a Todah, it doesn't work because a shlamim is not a todah. A todah is a type of shlamim. A shlamim is the umbrella name for all of these items. And similarly over here, todah is an umbrella name both for the zevach and for the lechem. On the other hand, the lechem is not an umbrella term for the todah. So it works in one direction. It does not work in the other direction. And obviously the din is brought here because it's very similar to what we just saw from Rabbi Abba, that the lechem, the todah, the lechem is ancillary to the todah. And that's exactly what that means. The word todah can subsume within it the korban and the lechamim. The lechem does not subsume within it the korban as well. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, hifrish todato va'avda. He lost his todah, chazar v'hifrish acher tachta. Now he brings in a replacement for that, va'avda, and loses it again. Chazar v'ifrish acheret tachtea. Now he brings a third todah. V'nimtzu arishonot. Then v'arishloshtam odot. All three of them are now available for him to bring as a todah. So nitkaper v'arishona. If he uses the first one to discharge his obligation, shniya ena tuna lechem, shlishit tuna lechem. The second one does not require lechem. The third one does require lechem. Nitkaper v'shlishit. If he uses the third one, then shniya ena tuna lechem. The second one doesn't require lechem. Rishona tuna lechem. The first one does require lechem. Be'emzait, if he uses the middle one, shtehem ein tuna lechem. Both the first and the third do not require lechem. What Rava is suggesting over here is that when a person is mafrish something la'achrayut, or to replace the item that was there, he only looks at the adjacent item, or the item that was most recently the todah. So that means when he has the first todah, and he loses it, and he brings in a replacement number two, and number two is replacing number one. But then, if I lose number two, and I bring in replacement number three is not replacing number one, it's replacing number two. And so therefore, the correlation between them is, two is associated with one, three is associated with two, but three is not associated with one. Therefore, you get all of these dinim here. If you choose to use number one, so then you have now discharged your obligation with todah number one. Todah number two was a replacement for number one. And we say when you use one of the two, the first one gets lechem, the second one doesn't get lechem, so number two doesn't get lechem. When you bring number three, there you do bring lechem. Because in essence, what you're looking at is number two and three. Because three was a replacement for two. When you brought two, you didn't bring lechem with it. So that means that three now requires lechem because it didn't have anything that discharged the obligation of lechem over here. Similarly, if you bring number three, two is exempted from lechem because three was a replacement for two. But one still requires lechem because three was not a replacement for one. But if you bring number two was both a replacement for number one and three was a replacement for number two. So when you bring the lechem with number two, that discharges your obligation for lechem both vis-a-vis one and vis-a-vis three. That is Rova's view here. Abaye disagrees and says, Abaye Amar, doesn't matter. Any one of them you bring as the Qurban Todah with lechem, the other two are exempt from lechem. All of them are replacement for each other. So when I say that I lost number two and I'm bringing number three, three is not just replacing number two, it's also replacing number one. Everything derives from number one, and therefore any replacement that you bring afterwards is both associated with the latter korban that you lost, but also the primary korban, or the earlier ones that you lost. It comes to replace not only number two, but number one and number two. And so therefore they're all associated together. So if you bring one of them with lechem, it discharges the obligation of lechem vis-a-vis the others. And we have this concept many times when you have tashlumim, do we view items to be tashlumim derishon? Like for instance, by each day of Yom Tov, where you have the right to do tashlumim, for bringing the korbanot that you're obligated to bring on the first day of Sukkot, then is each successive day then a tashlumim derishon? Or is each day a tashlumim from the day before? So is it all connected back to the first day? Or is there a chain link in which each one or each subsequent day is tashlumim for the previous day, but they're not all necessarily connected back to the first day, except from the fact that they all derive from the first day, but nevertheless, it's not directly connected back to the first day. Amar Rabbi Zeira, v'chein l'inyan chatot. The same din applies to chatot. Hifrish chatato ve'avda. He separated out a chatat and then lost it. Hifrish acheret tachta. Now he brings a replacement. Ve'avda. And that one was lost as well. Hifrish acheret tachta. And now he brings in an additional replacement. Ve'nimtzu rishonot. Now he finds the original ones. V'aresh l'shtam domdot. All three of them now are available for him to use. Nitzkaper b'rishona. If he did tzkaper out with the first one, shniya tamut. The second one then is put out to death. Shlishit tireh. On the other hand, the third one will go out to graze. Nitzkaper b'shlishit. If he got the tzkaper out with the third one, shniya tamut. The second one then is designated to die. B'rishona tireh. And the first one will be put out to pasture until it gets a mum. It's kaper b'em sa'it. If you got kaper out with number two, shtem yamutu. Then one and three will be subject to mitah. So over here, he's stating Rova's position with regards to a chatat. We know that chatat shnit kapru ba'aleha. A chatat where the balim attain kapara, then the other chatat is le mitah. goes to mita. That's only if the two are associated with each other. So again here, according to Rava, number two is associated with number one. So if you bring number one as a korban, number two, then it's subject to mita. Number three was a replacement for number two, not for number one. Two was going to mita. No nikapru ba'ala with regards to two and three. Therefore, three goes out to graze. Obviously, you don't need a chatat, because it's not chayav in a chatat anymore. But it's also not subject to mita, because number two is already going to mita. And then vice versa. If you use number three, then two would be subject to mita. Number one would then be lirot. If you use number two, the other two would die, because they're both associated with number two. By Amar, if you need kapru b'chamim, shtem yamutu. Any one of them that you use for the kapara, the other two are subject to death. Kulu chalipin dadadeninu. They're all replacements of each other. They're all associated or affiliated with each other. Therefore, if you attain kapara with one of them, all the others are considered to be nitkapru bala. My v'chein. What did Rabbi Zera add when he said v'chein linyan chatot? I mean that without Rabbi Zera, we could have done the same thing ourselves. They gave us the information with regards to etodah, and all of a sudden Rabbi Zera comes and says v'chein l'chatat. Even without Rabbi Zera, we could have just come up with these scenarios by chatat and realized that the din should be the same as todah based on what Abai and Rava's positions are with regards to a todah. Maldutei mahotam dodi kalameimar marbe bitodotu. Because by the case before, you can say that he's marbe bitodot. Because a todah can be brought binidava on a voluntary basis, then you can argue that the excess todot aren't necessarily correlated with the original todah, and it will become an independent todah that will be matzrich lechem. That concept doesn't apply by a chatat, because there's no such thing as a nidava by a chatat. It's always an obligatory offering. By the chataot, where, going to Miuchas, the Rashi says, ain't dar kanch bin adam nar bot bechataot. People don't try to create excess chataot. Or the way Rashi in the Tabiat says is the chatat lav bar neder nidavahu. Emelo. So maybe the din here would be different. Since it's not something that's brought on a voluntary basis, there we're going to say that all the excess chataot are the mita. Kamash malon, that the din is the same. So kamash malon, that Rava's position by the todot still applies by the chataot, even though chataot don't come on a voluntary basis. And that's because of his belief that number three is not correlated with number one. It's correlated with number two. It is a replacement for number two. It's not a replacement for number one. And it has nothing to do with this concept of marbe todot, or the fact that you can bring a voluntary todah, because by chataot that would not work, but rather it has to do with the connection or correlation between the different chataot that you brought. Tani Rabbi Chia, the bright of Rabbi Chia, todah shnit arva bitmurata umeita achat mehen. If you have a todah that also had its animal that it was exchanged for mixed in, they were together, we don't know which is which, and then one of them dies. Kaverta in la takana. The remaining animal, we don't know what to do with it. The meaning of en lo takana is not exactly clear here, meaning that there's no way to rectify it, but then what do you do with the residual animal? It seems from the Rambam that he thinks that you put it out to graze until it gets a mum. You just let it die? The Ravid is mesig on the Rambam over there and says that's definitely not the case. Yirash nistaev, that you wait until it gets a mum, and then you'll redeem it, and then you have to bring a todah with lechem. And with the monies from the pigeon, you will buy another todah that will be brought without lechem. Hey chinabit, what are you going to do? Nakriv lechem b'hadah. If you bring lechem with it, dilma tmurahi, then it might have been the tmurah that's still alive, the main or the primary todah that died. If that's the case, there's no obligation for lechem. You bring lechem and you don't need lechem. Lo nakriv lechem b'hadah. If you don't bring the lechem, dilma todai. Maybe the one that died was the tmurah, the exchanged one. And the primary one's still here, and that requires lechem. Hey, chidami. So the Gemara then says, okay, that's interesting din, but what's the scenario exactly? Idamar alai. If it's a case where it's obligatory, hare alai, lo sagia delo maiti la behema achrina. Velechem. If that's the case, he hasn't discharged his obligation. And he's going to have to bring another korban, todah, to discharge his obligation with lechem. Velema. And he'll do this. So make a tanai. Ihach dekaima tmurahi. If the one that is still alive is a tmura, ha todah, then the new one that I'm bringing is a todah. Vahalachma. And this is the lechem for that todah. Ihach dekaima todahi. If the one that survived from the two that were mixed up was the todah that I originally had made, the primary todah, halachma. What I brought now, the lechem, that's associated with it. And this will be a backup for it. Or in essence, you could just bring it as a todah that doesn't require lechem because it's just a backup todah. Lo tzricha. Damar harezo. It's not a case of chuva, but rather a case of nidava. It's a case where he says harezo and not a case of hare alai. Amru l'medim lifnei rabbi. Those that learn before rabbi is known as Levi, according to Rashi over here. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. So he says, l'medim lifnei rabbi, this is Levi when the other chachamim are around. Because we're going to see in a second, Rabbi's going to speak directly to Levi. So l'medim lifnei rabbi is when Levi is speaking amongst the other talmidim that are there. The Baal Tosafot don't like that explanation and say that Rashi really pushed it over here. He didn't need to say this. Because in Sanhedrin it says, l'medim lifnei chachamim is Levi, aval l'vneidim lifnei rabbi is chacham echer haya. This is a different expression. The expression in Sanhedrin is l'medim lifnei chachamim. It's not l'medim lifnei rabbi. L'medim lifnei rabbi is someone else. So this was someone else. This wasn't Levi over here. So I'm l'medim lifnei rabbi, v'leite lechem. So why don't we have a solution by the case of nidava? Now by the case of nidava, you can't say he has an obligatory lechem to bring because it was a nidava. And once if the nidava is dead, he has no longer any obligation to bring lechem with it. So he has no lechem obligation. So he says, why doesn't he do this? Leite lechem velema. Iach tekaima todahi. If the one that survived the two that were in the pen before was the todah, halachma. Here's the breads that should go along with it. Ilo leipuk lechulin. If not, these breads should be lechulin. Amrlehu v'hi machnisin chulin azara. We don't allow you to bring chulin into the azara. You have to bring in only things that are hektish. Over here, you are bringing in breads that you might designate as chulin. We don't know what they are. There may be kodesh because you need to bring with this todah. There might be chulin because you don't need to. It's a tmurah. There you don't need this lechem. Tosfot over here discusses exactly what this means that you can't bring chulin into the azara. Because as he states, a person can come in with his mabushe chol, bring in an animal of chol, and we magdish it in the azara. And nobody thinks anything of that. There's not a problem with it. So you can't say that this is a blanket isur against bringing chulin into the azara, but rather you have to define exactly what the issue is. And the Baalei Tosafot over here suggests, lo asrina lachnis chulin azara le'echa de'ika ke'in avoda ki'ocha. The only time where we're oser, people bringing chulin to azara, is where that chulin is being utilized in a way that looks like it's avoda. And in those scenarios, we have problems with chulin being brought into the azara. In other instances where it doesn't look like avodah, it has nothing to do with the avodah, there we don't have problem, including the ability for the kohanim to bring in spices and other items to eat along with their korbanot, despite the fact that they are chulin. Because there, it is not associated with the avodah at all. So things like here, where it's associated with avodah, the bringing of the lechamim and the korban, there we won't allow you to bring in chulin to the azara. So when it says, fine, leite behema v'lechem. Bring another animal and the lechem. V'lema, iach t'kaima t'murayi. If the one that survived is a t'mura, ha, the new behema that I brought is a todah. V'alachma, the lechem I'm bringing here is the lechem associated with it. Iach t'kaima todahi. If the one in the pen that survived was a todah, ha lachma, the breads that I'm bringing now belong or associated with that. V'ha t'ave shlamim. And the behema that I brought on now just will be a shlamim. Because then you run into a problem. A todah is only allowed to be eaten for one day and one night. A shlamim is eaten for 2 days and one night. In this case, you have a safek. It's that second animal that you brought. Is it a shlamim? Or is it a todah? Because if the first one was a tmurah, then the animal that you brought is actually now a todah. If the one that survived was a todah, the animal you bring is a shlamim. But you can only eat it for one day and one night because you don't know whether it's a shlamim or a todah, and therefore you are mima'et b'achila. And we don't allow you to bring what's called mevi kodeshim the beit psol. We don't allow you to bring a korban where you're going to diminish the amount of time that it can be eaten, where you are going to force it to be psol before its expiry time. Over here, this shlamim could have been for 2 days and one night because you don't know you're going to make it for one day and one night. That is what's called mevi kodeshim the beit psol, and we don't allow that. Amar Levi, the Rabbi, so Levi says to Rabbi, v'leite behema v'lechem, let him bring a behema and lechem, v'lema, iach t'kaima t'mura, hi haluda v'alachma. If the original one that's remaining is a t'mura, so it doesn't require lechem, then the new one that I'm bringing is a todah, and here's the lechem for it. V'hai t'kaima todai, if the one that survived of the original two was a Todah, Halachma, the lechem I'm bringing now is its lechem, has to have a motar de Todah. And this will be excess money of Todah. This will be leftover monies of the Todah. And therefore, he won't have a problem because it'll be a Todah, not a Shlamim. Amalei, kimidume ani shein lo moach bekad kudo. Rabbi says about his Talmud Levi, his Talmud Muvach Levi, sounds to me like this guy doesn't have a brain in his head. And obviously Rabbi was addressing this to Levi, was very erudite, didn't have a problem with his self-confidence, and was a Talmud Muvach of Rabbi. And what Rabbi is saying is, for someone of your stature, this is not really appropriate. And that means that you didn't apply yourself fully to obviously understanding what's going on here, because you would never ever propose this had that been the case. And therefore Rabbi is pushing back on Levi and saying, not only is it wrong, but you need to think about this before you present an answer like that, because it's not even an appropriate answer for someone of your stature who could have concluded that on his own. And in essence, either a chastisement not to be lazy, or to think before you speak, because you have to really understand whether what you're proposing over here is something of real value, or something that you could have by yourself concluded that has no meaning in this context. He says, motarot is a result, it is not a creation. If you have excess money, then it's called motar. It's no problem with it, it's not bidiyavad, it's just that you didn't know, so you put aside money, and then you had excess money. So that's called a motar. You can't start out and say, this is motar. You can't create leftovers when it's the original statement of the korban. So Yotiv Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Shmo, Bar Marto, Kameh de Rabbi Nachman, Yotiv Bikamar, Velaiti Beima Velechem. Let's try this out. Bring the Beima and Lechem, Velema. Iach de Kaima Tmura, He, Ha, Toda, Vahalachma. If the original one was the Tmura, then the new Beima brings the Toda, and this is its Lechem. The one that survived was the Todah, Halachma. The breads that I'm bringing now are Todah. V'hatave Tmura. And then this animal will be a Tmura. We'll make it into an exchange for the Todah that's alive. So either it'll be a Todah, or it'll be a Tmura Todah. Now you're fine. Now you have one Todah and one Tmura Todah, which just don't know which one's the Todah, which one's the Tmura. But both of them go on the Mizbeach, and you have one set of Lechem, you're great. Amalei, Ane Mare Arbaim Bekatfei Bekasher. What, the guy's going to get malkot, and you're telling me it's going to be a kosher korban? When you do tmura, tmura is an isser min haTorah. It's a lav to do tmura. So you're coming up with a solution, which is, okay, bring in lechem, and you'll say, if it's a todah, the lechem go with that, and this is going to be a tmura. What do you mean? He's going to make it tmura, he's going to get malkot. That's not a kosher way, that's not a chatzchila way to deal with the situation, to bring him into a position where he's going to get malkot. That's not a good solution. So therefore, we have the statement that started with Tani de Reb Chia, that if you have a Todah that got mixed up with a Tmura, and one of them dies, then the other one, we don't know what to do with it, we have no solution for it. And that is in a case, again, where it was a Todat Nidava. And in that scenario, so far, we have not found a way to solve the problem or way out of it, and that's why the statement of Rabbi Chia still stands. So we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph.